Good evening, Shalom Aleichem. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to share some Divrei Torah again. I just want to acknowledge, I think my parents, Zog Zuntain, are part of the audience that's listening, and everything that I accomplish is a direct result of their Mesiras Nefesh for me all the years that I'm existing, and I appreciate what they do, and I hope they have nachas. The focus of the Parsha Tesave, is on the Big Day Kuhuna. And the Torah tells us, Vasisa Big Day Kodesh La'aron Achicha L'Chavod L'Sefaras. The Torah tells us that the purpose of the Big Day Kodesh that were created for Aaron HaKohen, was L'Kavod L'Sefaras. And the Mefarshim all bring out that the purpose of the Big Day Kuhuna, they were crafted and designed to bring Kavod to the Kuhuna that was Aaron HaKohen and the Kohenim in general, and Aaron HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol. They were supposed to bring an honor to the position. This precise design of the Big Day Kuhuna, the same way that the precise design of all the Kalim in the Mishkan, they all had a very specific designation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed them to bring to the position and to the place Kavod and Teferes. Kavod is honor. Honor means that it's an expression of the value of something, is its honor. The Kavod that the Big Day Kuhuna brought to Aaron HaKohen was the honor of what it meant to be L'chanoi li, to be a Meshares, to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Teferes is the beauty, the glory, the distinction that goes along with that honor. And that's true of anything that the levush, the clothing that we wear, which there's halachas that are associated with them. There's a simplicity that is ideal in how we dress and how we walk around. Those are supposed to bring kavod and teferes to our status as Yidden, as people who are Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, who don't put an emphasis on their clothing being something that is trendy and up with the times, but rather something that's dignified and simple, because that brings out the nature of what every Jew is supposed to be. In the same way that the Big Day Kuhuna brought out the nature of what it meant to be a Kohen and a Kohen Gadol. The Pasuk says later on in the Parsha, Perek Chof Ches, Pasuk Mem Aleph, the Pasuk says, Vilbashtam oisam es Aaron Achicha vezvan of Itai, you should clothe them. Aaron Achicha, Aaron your brother, vezvan of Ito, and his sons, umoshachto sam umileisos yadam v'kidashto sam v'chiyanu li. So Rashi explains that moshachto sam means you should anoint them, and umileisos yadam, and you should fill their hands, v'kidashto sam, and you should sanctify them v'chiyanu li, and they should serve me. So what's contained in the clothing of the Kohanim and Aaron HaKohen and Kohen Gadol, the Pasuk tells us a whole list of things that clothing is supposed to accomplish. Umashachto sam means you should anoint them. And Rashi says in a few places, in this fashion, other places in Kisisa, that Mashachta is a Lashon Riboy, a Lashon Gedula. There's a greatness that's associated with a uniform that represents the kahuna. the Kohenim and the Kohen Gadol has to understand that their clothing represents a status of who they need to be. And it's something that the clothing have to remind them who they are, and they always have to live up to that clothing. And that's the concept of a uniform. And the pasuk then says, "Umilesas yadam," and you should fill their hands. And Rashi says, "Umilesas yadam, kol milu yadayin lashin chinuchu." Milu yadayim. When a person's hands are filled, it means that it's a lashon of chinuch. Kishu nichnas ledavar lios muchzigbo meosu yom vahola. That when a person, Rashi says this in a few places, that milu yadayim is something that a person's hands are filled with a purpose, with a mission. And Rashi says it used to be that there was a custom when someone was given a new job, they were given a new position, so there was a pair of gloves that were put into their hands, that filled their hands. And Rashi says the concept is that when a person enters into something that he's supposed to be, it's supposed to be something that he's muchzik for. It's something that he takes hold of, and it takes hold of him. That's called milu yadayim. Kishemimanim adam apkidas davar noisna shal biyada beis yad shal ur. When a person's appointed for a position, so the ruler puts in his hands hanshu, which is gloves. Val yadu masik b'davar, and that the kernos losa mesira v'hu milu yadayim. That's called milu yadayim. That means when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a tafkid, he gives us a position. That position comes with a responsibility. And the accepting of that responsibility, and chinuch, means entering in, Rashi says in Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayorek es chanichav, Rashi says that chinuch is hascholas knisas odom, okli, lesoch umneshu asud lamavo. It's the entering of either a person or a vessel, a utensil, into the umnishuas ulama, but what he's supposed to be. So in this case, it's Aaron HaKohen has a position as a Kohen Gadol. The Kohenim have their position as Kohenim Hedyotos. And that position is milu yadayim. It fills your hands. And it's a concept. Because when a person has a position, then that position becomes something that's milu yadayim, that's something that's supposed to fill your hands with that sense of purpose and mission, and never be allowed to forget what you represent with the position you're in. And the pasuk then continues, v'kidashto sam v'chiyanuli. And that's the kedusha. The kedusha of a person is actualizing his tafkid in this world, and connecting everything he does to that tafkid, and that tafkid was given to him, that purpose was given to him by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and when he actualizes it, then it becomes something that defines him and identifies him. V'chi anuli. And then you become a servant. A service. Klal Yisrael is a mamleches koyanim v'goy kodosh. Klal Yisrael is a mamleches, a kingdom of koyanim. A kingdom of people whose purpose and mission is to serve Hashem. The mamlechus kohen v'goy kadosh, and a nation that's holy. Because there's nothing that's holier than serving Hashem. In the world today, when someone is given a task or a mission, and he's forced to make himself subservient to the person that he's working for, the world looks at it as being something that weakens his self-esteem, that lowers his self-esteem. But we know from Moshe Rabbeinu, whose Yahrzeit was this week, and that's one of the reasons why Parshas Tetzaveh, the Vilna Gaon says, that one of the reasons why Parshas Tetzaveh always falls out on the Shabbos that contains the week of Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira, and therefore his name is missing from the parsha. But Moshe Rabbeinu taught us that the greatest thing that we can do is to be called an Eved Hashem. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Hesped for Moshe Rabbeinu, which only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have written, says, Vayomas Moshe Eved Hashem. Of all the greatness that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Lokom Navi B'Yisrael K'Moshe, there was no Navi like Moshe, there was no Anav like Moshe, but the title that Moshe was given that most exemplified his greatness was Eved Hashem. And if we have a mission, that mission that we're given, if we appreciate it, what it means, and we wear the uniform that accompanies that mission, then we can never forget who we are. And this is true of Kohanim, this is true of Leviim, but it's true of every Yid. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Lametes, Kala Oiches Sefer Torah Arum, Nikbar Arum. If someone holds on to a Sefer Torah Arum, the simple meaning is if he holds on to a Sefer Torah, to the cloth, without the Sefer Torah is not covered by a mitpachas, it's not covered by a mantle. If he holds it without anything covering the Sefer Torah, then he's Nikbar Arum. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, Nikbar Arum? The Gemara says it means, ultimately, Arum without that mitzvah of what he was doing when he was holding that Sefer Torah. The Ksav Sefer in his Akdoma to his Tshuvas in Chelik Or HaChaim says, what does it mean to hold the Sefer Torah Arum? Again, the Poshut Pshat, the simple Pshat, is it means he's holding the Sefer Torah, the Klaf, without it being covered by a mantle. But he says that we can also understand it, that someone who holds the Sefer Torah, the Levush, the clothing, the garments of a Yid, the garments of every Jew, is his midas, his hanhogas, the way that he conducts himself. That's the midas of a Yid. If someone holds on to a Sefer Torah, and he doesn't have that levush, he doesn't have that clothing that is befitting to someone who's holding and who's learning Torah, then that person is nikbar below osa mitzvah. He doesn't get that same mitzvah of learning Torah because he's not learning the Torah with the purpose and the mission and the understanding that Torah has to transform us and make us a different person. It's more than just something that we do. It's something that we are. It's something that we are. I remember once Shimon Schwab Zatel, whose Yartzeit is coming up this week as well, next week, when I once was talking to him and he asked me what Masechta I was learning. And I told him, I'm doing Baba Kama. He said, you don't do Baba Kama, you do lunch. He said, you learn Baba Kama. And I don't think he was just correcting me on semantics. He was trying to make sure that I understand that when we learn Torah, and it's true of Torah and all mitzvahs, we don't just do them. We have to live them. We have to learn them. We have to allow them to become associated and create for us a levush, a garment. It has to be a beauty, l'kavod l'sefaros, what it means to be a Yid. And it's something that we have to have an appreciation for from the inside, and then it exudes that beauty and honor on the outside as well. This week is Parsha Zachar, and Parsha Zachar is the Hakadama, is the introduction to Purim. And in order for us to appreciate why we need this Hakdama, and it almost seems incongruous with everything that Purim is about. Purim is about simcha, about happiness, about joy, about doing things that make us and give us a chance to make others happy. And we precede it with a seemingly very negative mitzvah of Machu Timcha Zecha Amalek. But the Torah is teaching us a very valuable lesson, a bunch of very valuable lessons. One is that Ohevei Hashem Sinu Ra. In order for us to fully appreciate the beauty and everything that comes along with what it means to be a Yid, we have to recognize and appreciate the negative influences and the negative aspects of those who stand the opposite of what it means to be a Yid. Amalek, of all the nations, were the antithesis of what it means to be a Yid. Because Amalek had every reason, when the rest of the world was cognizant of Hashem's presence following Kriyas Yamsuf and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they refused to accept that. They created a cavity of emunah that they refused to see things that were clear and open in their face. And Yid has to be the total opposite. We have to take every opportunity, every small potential opportunity to see Hashem, and there's so many ways of seeing Hashem. Every day, every bracha that we make, Asher Yatzar, or Shehakol Nihya Bidvaro, or every bracha, or Adon Olam Hashem Alach, or Kai Neshama, every word of tefillah, but every experience that we have the potential to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see Hashem. And that's the opposite of Amalek. Amalek had Nisim Gluyim, open miracles that were available to them and should have afforded them the ability to see Hashem. And they did everything to make sure that Lo Yirei Elokim. They made sure that they didn't recognize, they didn't translate that emuna into an awareness of Hashem. And that's the antithesis of what a Yid is. So we have to have, and that affects us as well. Because the same way that when Amalek jumped into the Ambat Yerusachas, which was confusing to the rest of the world, what are they doing? We all know that that's a dangerous thing to start right now with Klal Yisrael. But they're doing it anyway. But the ability for someone to do something that no one else is going to do, that creates the potential of challenging what's clear. So that's the opposite of Klal Yisrael. So we need to be Machal Timcha Zecher Amalek. We need to obliterate Amalek. We need to obliterate those things that create doubts and questions in our mind. The Baal HaTurim says that Amalek is the same gematria as Safek. Any questions that we have, anything that lacks clarity in Hashem's ruling over the world, that brings Amalek into focus, into power. And we want to get rid of that. We want to obliterate that. We want to bang when it says Haman to make sure that we acknowledge that Haman is not where we want to be. Haman doesn't talk to us because we have daily, minute by minute opportunities to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance, and that's supposed to give us the appreciation of what it means to be a Yid, what it means to be a Jew. That's the Hakdama to Purim. And as well, I saw that Avram Shor brings down that it's an interesting connection between the Melech of Paras and Amalek. Seemingly these are two different nations, but they somehow come together in Purim, and they're somehow associated with each other. What's the Tzad HaShavu? What's the connection? What's the connecting between these two, Persia, Paras, and Amalek? What's the connection? So he says, Chazal tell us that, the Maral says that we see that Haman and Achashverosh connected in the story of the Megillah. What's the connection there? Says the Maral that Paras is represented in Chazal as a dove, as a bear. A bear is somebody that has a huge frame that amasses everything that it can get its hands on. It eats and it eats and it stores all that food for many, many months. And it's something that a bear is a taker. He grabs whatever he can get his hand on. A molek is done to a kelev, right? In Parash B'Shalach, when it says, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu ha'ayin, Rashi brings the mashal of a child sitting on his father's shoulders, and he says, where's my father? My father let him down, and bought kelev and noshcho. That's the mashal to a molek. A molek is a kelev. A kelev is also a taker. He sniffs, he tries to find whatever he can, and whatever he gets to a thing, something that he can appreciate, he takes it. Paras took in its own way. Melech Paras takes, it's a symbol of desire, of engaging in material enjoyment. That's the type of taking. And Amalek represents the taking their spirituality out of the world. The lack of recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking that spirituality out of the world. Both of them are takers. And our response to Paras and to Amalek is Purim. Purim is about how we, in engaging in Mishta V'Simcha, we're not doing it just for the fulfillment of our natural desires. We're doing it with an elevated sense of purpose, of wanting to do it to glorify HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything that He does for us. The nisim that we have an appreciation for, that are represented in Purim, that we live with every day, that's what we're bringing out. That's the simcha. We're the response to the takers, the people who indulge for the purpose of taking, is the direct response is to indulge for the purpose of giving. Of giving to each other, giving matanus levyonim, giving mishloach manus, giving by connecting with one to another in a Sudas Purim, all that is given. And the response to a Amalek, who takes the spirituality, takes the ruchnius out of the world, is we have a Purim that creates a real sense of ruchnius in the world. Because the greatest thing that can testify to our appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the fact that we are His servants is if we conduct ourselves with simcha. Simcha is an acknowledgement that what we're doing is not just something we're doing because we have no choice or because it's our responsibility that we grudgingly accept. Simcha is about doing something with a sense of gratitude that we wouldn't want to do anything else. There's nothing that we'd rather do more than be a yid, than be shem eter mitzvahs, than love one another, than help each other, and to live our lives with simcha, with the simchas achaim that belongs to every yid. That's the levush of every yid, that brings kavod and teferes to the essence of every yid, which is to be a shem eter mitzvahs, to be able to be eter mitzvahs. And it's up to us to have a milu yadayim, as a mamleches kayanim, the same way that the Kayanim were filled with Milu Yadayim, they were filled with that mission of being Kayanim in the Mishkan. We need to have that Milu Yadayim of what it means to be a Yid. And we have to carry that responsibility with Simcha. And that's the response. That's the antidote. That's the Machol Timcha Zecher Amalek. Yes, we have to recognize Ayav Hashem Sinu Ra. We have to recognize that the challenge of Amalek and what it creates in us in terms of sveikas and questions and doubts and perhaps forgetting who we are. Well, the levush of every yid has to be that simcha, that kavod, that teferes, that reminds us who we are, and that's what comes out on Purim. And perhaps that's one of the reasons why we dress up on Purim. Because the levush of every person, of every yid, the ability for a person, a yid, not to be arum, is really the hanhogas, the midas, that are a result of what's going on inside. lest we think the Kayin and the Kayin Gadol, their Lavush was designed by the Rabbeinu Shalom, and therefore that Lavush defined them. But our Lavush is the Lavush that is emanating from inside of us, who we are in our essence. And therefore we want to cover over the outer garments and dress up in a way that we clearly represent that what people see on the outside is not the Lavush of a Yid. The Lavush of the Yid is what's going on inside and who he is in his essence. That's what the Yid is. Is a beautiful Goyin, Vilna Goyin, that says in the beginning of the Megillah, he says in the Sefer Deres Elio, he says that Chazal tell us that Vayehi is a Lashon Tzar and Vahaya is a Lashon of Simcha. And the Vilna Goyin explains, why is it Vayehi is a Lashon of Tzar, and why is Vahaya Lashon of Simcha? So he says a beautiful concept. He says that Yehi is a Lashon Osid, and the Vav of Vayehi turns that Lashon Osid into an Ovar, Vayehi, and it was. The Vav Ahipoch changes the Lashon, the tense of the Yehi, and makes it past. He says, when a Yid takes his future and he turns it into a past. So that's a Lashon Tzar. When a Yid takes his future and limits it to his past, and makes it limited to the experiences of his past, then that's a tzar. But Vahaya, when Haya is a Lashon Avar, it's a Lashon of past. Vahaya, and the Vav changes it to future. When a person takes his experiences from the past and turns it into a future, so then that's a Simcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us an opportunity by everything that we all experience of turning that into a bright future of Simcha, of the representation of what it means, what our mission is as a Yid. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to do. If we suffer, if we allow ourselves to limit ourselves from the past and make our future limited by our past, that's a tzar. But if we take our past and turn it into a bright future, take every experience that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us and use it to accomplish the mission, the Milu Yadayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives and the Mamlechas Kain and Begay Kodesh that we all are, then that's a different thing. Then that's a Simcha. That's the greatest Simcha. One of my favorite parts in the Megillah, the Gemara says that occurs a Megillah l'mafreya lo yatsa. If one reads the Megillah from back to front, he's not yatsa. So I saw once that upshot that if someone, sometimes when the story of the Megillah unfolds, so it in the beginning it looks pretty bitter for Klal Yisrael. It looks like Klal Yisrael is going to be persecuted. Haman is in charge. He makes this pact with Ahasuerus to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Things don't look great. It's only after the whole story unfolds and all the details that we didn't even realize were part of the story leading to the ultimate Yeshua that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was orchestrating piece by piece, only then do we see the Yeshua. So if someone reads the Megillah and looks at the end and sees that the ending is okay, and now he can go through the Megillah without getting anxious because he sees that every piece of the Megillah it's all gonna turn out well. Lo yotza. He's not yotza. he has to read the Megillah from the front to the back. He has to read the Megillah and recognize that we go through times in Klal Yisrael when things look bleak, when things look difficult, and we don't know where this is going to take us. And that's a tekufa, that's a period of time which we all live through on a consistent basis. And this is no exception. There are tremendous things that are going on. There's beautiful, beautiful things that are going on in Klal Yisrael. But there's also tremendous trying times for on a lot of levels for a lot of people, both Klal Yisrael and Befrat. There's a lot of challenges. But our job is to hold on to the Emunah, that anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends our way has a purpose, has a goal, has a mission. And our job is to turn that into the purpose and mission for which we were put on this earth. Our job is to take the perhaps difficult past or the challenges that are part of our past and turn them into a bright future. And we do that by holding on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, holding on to our Emunah and trust in Him, and never forgetting that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is in our best interest. So it's only if we went through that time without seeing the end, that's when we're zeicher to the Yeshua. That's when we're zeicher that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to deliver us. But if we only want, we only have the ability to survive and be able to withstand the challenges, only if we are able to get a glimpse into the ultimate ending of the story, lo yotza. That's not the way we're supposed to live. We need to take the past and turn it into a future. If we could only live the past, if we know the future, if we turn the future and are only limited, that's the only thing that can help the past. That's a lashon tzar. That's not what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us. So this is a tremendous time for Klal Yisrael. There's a tremendous simcha, and we have to remember that this is kind of, in some ways, the anniversary of the beginning of COVID, which is, I guess, why I have the schus of being able to share with you on the phone. So there were some things that came out of COVID that for, at least for certain people, were good. There were some really, really difficult things. But one thing we know, whatever Klal Yisrael experienced, whatever they do experience, whatever they have experienced, is all leading us to the ultimate Yeshua. And that's what we want to make sure we never forget. And if we wear the levush of what it means to be a Yid with the pride and gratitude that we should, given how fortunate we are to be distinguished and distinct from the rest of the world, with having that mission, that lofty mission, to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything we do, that's something that's worthy of a Simchas Purim. The Simchas Purim is about giving, it's about connecting, it's about going, give the antidote to Paras and to Paras, it's the antidote to Amalek, it's giving for the, indulging for the sake of giving, not for the sake of taking. It's creating and instilling and giving into the world the Munah and trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to, as the antidote to Amalek that tries to extract that spirituality from the world. That's what we're celebrating on Purim. And it's every reason for us to be very, 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 very much filled with Simcha. Yiratzon, that we should be zeicher to go into Purim with a heightened sense of appreciation of everything that we have, with the what fortunate we are to be Yidden, how fortunate we are to have the Schus of Torah and Mitzvahs, how we can never forget that the Levush, we should never be Oiches Sefer Torah Orum. We should never hold on to the Torah, which includes the Mitzvahs, Orum, in a way that we forget the Levush of what it means to be a Yid. And that way, hopefully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us Schar for all the Mitzvahs we do, and we'll be able to represent Him with everything that we do. And if enough people do that, then we'll turn the Simcha of Purim, which is the ultimate Simcha, into the Simcha of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheir v'yameinu. Amen.